The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Friday is upon us. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Friday, October 22nd, 2021. Friday of the 29th week in Ordinary Time. In the Missal, it's liturgical year B, cycle 1. Friday is a day to pray the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary, and today is the optional memorial of Pope St. John Paul II. Now, in the few minutes that I have, I can only give you some highlights and hope that you'll forgive me. He made pastoral visits to 124 countries, promoted ecumenical and interfaith initiatives, especially the 1986 Day of Prayer for World Peace in Assisi. He visited Rome's main synagogue and the Western Wall in Jerusalem. He established diplomatic relations between the Holy See and Israel. His 1979 visit to Poland encouraged the growth of the Solidarity movement there and the collapse of communism in Central and Eastern Europe. St. John Paul II died April 2, 2005. Pope St. John Paul II, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. Dear Lord, I do not know what will happen to me today. I only know that nothing will happen that was not foreseen by you and directed to my greater good from all eternity. I adore your holy and unfathomable plans and submit to them with all my heart for love of you, the Pope, and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Amen. And along with Pope Francis, we pray that every baptized person may be engaged in evangelization, available to the mission by being witnesses of a life that has the flavor of the gospel. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Today is the feast of Saint John Paul II, the Great, we would add, because he was really a great saint. And the reason why 22nd of October was chosen as his feast day was because it was the day he started his pontificate in 1978. And these are the words he began his homily with. Do not be afraid to open your hearts wide to Christ. Do not be afraid. Those are words of Jesus, which he addresses to the apostles many times, in fact. Do not be afraid. And then those are the words he is also telling us today through the Pope. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to open your hearts wide to Christ. And these words were referring to the whole life of St. John Paul II up to that moment. But they would become the defining attitude to the 27 years he was Pope, leading the church. Do not be afraid to open your hearts wide to Christ. That's what he did his whole life, and especially as Pope. And that's what we would like to also talk to our Lord about in these 10 minutes. Beginning with that idea that the great Pope saw regarding his own life. Certainly he went through lots of hardships, but he also saw those great gifts, even those hardships. He saw them as a way of preparation for the great mission he was going to carry out in the church and in the world. So he saw his life, as he himself will call it, gift and mystery. So that will be the title of a book which he wrote on the 50th anniversary of his priestly ordination. He saw his life as a gift and mystery. In the first place, as a gift, everything he received, everything he experienced, he saw it as a gift from God. And that's how we should also see our life, as a gift. Everything we have, everything we are is a gift from God. Gratitude is certainly a very good attitude for a Christian. And we are grateful, like the Pope was, to his parents, to his teachers, to his colleagues, to his friends. And he was especially grateful to one of his friends, a tailor, who taught him how to pray. At least that's what he says. He knew how to pray. He had learned that from his parents' home. But there's that one person, Jan, that was his name, who taught him how to pray. And they just started praying the Holy Rosary every day. That led him to have that great devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And he would say that praying of a prayer that probably we've prayed it many times. We usually call those prayers that we know by heart, vocal prayers, because we say them with our mouth, but we know them, they are deep in our hearts. But they should also lead us to a deeper prayer, which is what we are doing now, speaking to Jesus, listening to him. So this was the Pope's experience, that vocal prayer that the Rosary is, led him to have that deeper relationship with God. And he would then find himself praying and getting very deep in his relationship with God because he had learned that prayer. So he was always very grateful to that friend of his for teaching him how to pray. Very simple prayer, which we can actually try and pray it every now and then. If you can do that every day, that would be fantastic. But it's especially when in this month of October, it's sort of meant to be a month of the Rosary. So it's something we can try to do. It will help us also in our relationship with God. And going back to St. John Paul II, he also saw his life as a mystery, meaning like something hidden, something left to us to discover. And many times we see that in the things we like, or maybe things we are good at. In the case of John Paul II, he's a man who loved acting, he loved poetry, he loved philosophy, he loved going out, he loved the outdoors. And you see that in his life. He loved the excursions, going to the mountains, skiing. So he's a man who loved all those things that portray the greatness of the human spirit. And through that, he would also see God. But especially, he would see what God has placed in us. He's the one who has placed those yearnings, those capacities in us. And that's why we turn to him in gratitude. We want to thank him. Jesus, thank you for giving us all those qualities, all those capacities. You've given us even the gift of time so that we can do so many things. But especially you have given us all those things so that we can enjoy them. And then so that we can use them in order to serve you and serve many other people. So we want to thank you for so many gifts. And in John Paul II, we saw he especially loved people. He made friends with everyone, because he had a very lively spirit. But you could see that even after many years, in fact, when he grew like old, and there was especially that very moving moment in the year 2000. It was a great year in the church and in the world. And you had this group of people, a group of friends who went to visit him. They were childhood friends, and they went to visit him in Rome. And they were there and reminiscing the good old days. And they were there even singing some songs, and they used to sing. It was fantastic to see those people who are, you know, like children again, there with the Pope. And he was enjoying just seeing them there, how old they had grown. He himself had grown older and couldn't speak as much. He couldn't act the way he used to act, but the way he loved them. And this came from his closeness to God. He would spend long hours before the Blessed Sacrament, he just speaking to God or just listening to him. And in fact, it was known that he would spend so much time that he would times sort of change the schedule of his visits because he needed that time. Those are one of the planners for the visit he made to the United States in 1992, I think. He had made a point of saying, "Hey, you know, don't show the Holy Father the door to the chapel." He was going to spend some time in the Archbishop's residence before meeting the young people. And then he had given those instructions because he knew that that would change the whole schedule. Then the Pope came and just stopped right in front of the door and asked, is this the chapel? And then they had no option. They told him, yeah, Holy Father, that's the chapel. So he went there and spent time because he needed that time with Jesus so that he could then love people the way he did. We need to spend time with Jesus. That's what we are doing now. We are spending time with you, Jesus, because we love people. We not only love doing lots of other things which are good, but we love people and we'd like to love them more. But in order for us to love them more, we need to spend time with you. Probably one of the most remembered photos of St. John Paul II's pontificate was that one-on-one conversation he had in 1983 with Ali Akcha, who had attempted to assassinate him 2 years earlier. And he was there. He had forgiven him already, but he wanted to show him that he was very close to him. So he went there. He saw him and spent time with him. And that was really moving because we all find it difficult to forgive. I don't know whether I am capable of doing that. That's why I need to turn to Jesus and ask him, Lord, show me how to forgive with my whole heart. At least show me how to try to forgive the others, people who might have offended me. I mean, certainly no one has tried to assassinate me, and that would be something very serious. But I would like to forgive the same way that John Paul II forgave and loved people. And then at last, on that 2nd of April 2005, when he passed away, at least I remember that, there were lots of people in Rome who were there, like accompanying him. He had already been back and forth to the hospital, and they're all surrounding the St. Peter's Square, and they were praying for the Pope. And then it seems that some of the last words he spoke were, "Let me go to my Father's house." So those were his last words. "Let me go to my Father's house." He had always lived in his Father's house. That's what we are doing now, praying. It's like being in our Father's house. And then that moment will be like, then we will be entering the definitive home, that's heaven. So let us ask Jesus today that he may help us to yearn for that house, to be with him, to spend time with him. And the Blessed Virgin Mary is always there, helping us to stay in the Father's house. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations which you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into practice. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.
There's more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. 16 past the hour. We'll pray the office in just a few minutes. This is Daybreak. On the optional memorial of Pope St. John Paul II, this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Paul Sadek. Let's join the whole church in prayer now. We're led by our friends at divineoffice.org in the invitatory psalm and the office of readings.
Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will proclaim your praise.
Come, let us give thanks to the Lord, for God's great love is without end.
Come, let us give thanks to the Lord, for God's great love is without end.
Come, let us sing to the Lord, and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving, and sing joyful songs to the Lord.
Come, let us give thanks to the Lord, for God's great love is without end.
The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands.
Come, let us give thanks to the Lord, for God's great love is without end.
Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds.
Come, let us give thanks to the Lord, for God's great love is without end.
Today listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Massah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works.
Come, let us give thanks to the Lord, for God's great love is without end.
40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest.
Come, let us give thanks to the Lord, for God's great love is without end.
Glory to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us give thanks to the Lord, for God's great love is without end.
Rise up, Lord, and come to my aid.
Rise up, Lord, and come to my aid.
O Lord, plead my cause against my foes. Fight those who fight me. Take up your buckler and shield. Arise to help me. O Lord, say to my soul, I am your salvation. But my soul shall be joyful in the Lord and rejoice in his salvation. My whole being will say, Lord, who is like you, who rescue the weak from the strong and the poor from the oppressor? Lying witnesses arise and accuse me unjustly. They repay me evil for good. My soul is forlorn.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Rise up, Lord, and come to my aid.
All-powerful Lord, stand by me and defend me.
All-powerful Lord, stand by me and defend me.
When they were sick, I went into mourning, afflicted with fasting.
My prayer was ever on my lips, as for a brother, a friend. I went as though mourning a mother, bowed down with grief. Now that I am in trouble, they gather. They gather and mock me. They take me by surprise and strike me and tear me to pieces. They provoke me with mockery on mockery and gnash their teeth.
Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
All-powerful Lord, stand by me and defend me.
My tongue will speak of your goodness all the day long.
My tongue will speak of your goodness all the day long.
O Lord, how long will you look on? Come to my rescue. Save my life from these raging beasts, my soul from these lions. I will thank you in the great assembly. Amid the throng, I will praise you. Do not let my lying foes rejoice over me. Do not let those who hate me unjustly wink eyes at each other. O Lord, you have seen. Do not be silent. Do not stand afar off. Awake, stir to my defense, to my cause, O God. Let there be joy for those who love my cause. Let them say without end, Great is the Lord who delights in the peace of his servant. Then my tongue shall speak of your justice all day long, of your praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Lord, you rescue the poor from their oppressors, and you rose to the aid of your beloved Son against those who unjustly sought his life. Look on your church as we journey to you, that the poor and weak may recognize the help you provide and proclaim your saving act.
My tongue will speak of your goodness all the day long.
My son, take my words to heart.
Do as I say, and you will live.
A reading from the book of the prophet Baruch. Read out publicly this scroll which we send you, in the house of the Lord, on the feast day, and during the days of assembly. Justice is with the Lord our God, and we today are flushed with shame, we men of Judah and citizens of Jerusalem, that we, with our kings and rulers and priests and prophets, and with our fathers, have sinned in the Lord's sight, and disobeyed him. We have neither heeded the voice of the Lord our God, nor followed the precepts which the Lord set before us. From the time the Lord led our fathers out of the land of Egypt until the present day, we have been disobedient to the Lord our God, and only too ready to disregard his voice. And the evils and the curse which the Lord enjoined upon Moses, his servant, at the time he led our fathers forth from the land of Egypt to give us the land flowing with milk and honey, cling to us even today. For we did not heed the voice of the Lord our God in all the words of the prophets whom he sent us. But each one of us went after the devices of our own wicked hearts, served other gods, and did evil in the sight of the Lord our God. And the Lord fulfilled the warning he had uttered against us, against our judges who governed Israel, against our kings and princes, and against the men of Israel and Judah. He brought down upon us evil so great that there has not been done anywhere under heaven what has been done in Jerusalem, as was written in the law of Moses, that one after another of us should eat the flesh of his son or of his daughter. He has made us subject to all the kingdoms round about us, a reproach and a horror among the nations round about, to which the Lord has scattered us. We are brought low, not raised up, because we sinned against the Lord our God, not heeding his voice. Lord Almighty, God of Israel, afflicted souls and dismayed spirits call to you. Hear, O Lord, for you are a God of mercy, and have mercy on us who have sinned against you, for you are enthroned forever, while we are perishing forever. Lord Almighty, God of Israel, hear the prayer of Israel's few, the sons of those who sinned against you. They did not heed the voice of the Lord their God, and the evils cling to us. Remember at this time not the misdeeds of our fathers, but your own hand and name, for you are the Lord our God. And you, O Lord, we will praise. For this you put into our hearts the fear of you, that we may call upon your name and praise you in our captivity, when we have removed from our hearts all the wickedness of our fathers who sinned against you. Behold us today in our captivity, where you scattered us, a reproach, a curse, and a requital for all the misdeeds of our fathers, who withdrew from the Lord, our God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God is rich in mercy, and because he loved us so much, even though we were dead in sin,
he brought us to life in Christ.
We have sinned, been ungodly, and have broken all your commandments, O Lord our God.
Even though we were dead in sin, he brought us to life in Christ.
A reading from A Letter to Proba by St. Augustine, Bishop. The person who asks for and seeks this one thing from the Lord makes his petition confidently and serenely. He has no fear that, when he receives it, it may harm him, for if this is absent, anything else he duly receives brings no benefit at all. This is the one true and only life of happiness, that, immortal and incorruptible in body and spirit, we should contemplate the Lord's graciousness forever. It is for the sake of this one thing that everything else is sought, and without impropriety requested. The person who has this will have all that he wants. In heaven he will be unable to want, because he will be unable to possess anything that is unfitting. In heaven is the fountain of life, that we should now thirst for in prayer as long as we live in hope, and do not yet see the object of our hope, under the protection of his wings, in whose presence is all our desire, so that we may drink our fill from the plenty of his house, and be given drink from the running stream of his delights. For with him is the fountain of life, and in his light we shall see light, when our desire will be satisfied with good things, and there will be nothing to ask for with sighs, but only what we possess with joy. Yet, since this is that peace that surpasses all understanding, even when we ask for it in prayer, we do not know how to pray for what is right. Certainly we do not know something if we cannot think of it as it really is. Whatever comes to mind we reject, repudiate, find fault with. We know that this is not what we are seeking, even if we do not yet know what kind of thing it really is. There is then within us a kind of instructed ignorance, instructed, that is, by the Spirit of God who helps our weakness. When the Apostle said, "If we hope for something we do not see, we look forward to it with patience," he added, In the same way the Spirit helps our weakness, we do not know what it is right to pray for, but the Spirit himself pleads with sighs too deep for words. He who searches hearts knows what the Spirit means, for he pleads for the saints according to God's will. We must not understand by this that the Holy Spirit of God pleads for the saints as if he were something different from what God is. In the Trinity, the Spirit is the unchangeable God and one God with the Father and the Son. Scripture says, he pleads for the saints because he moves the saints to plead, just as it says, the Lord your God tests you to know if you love him, in this sense that he does it to enable you to know. So the Spirit moves the saints to plead with sighs too deep for words by inspiring in them a desire for the great and as yet unknown reality that we look forward to with patience. How can words express what we desire when it remains unknown? If we were entirely ignorant of it, we would not desire it again. We would not desire it or seek it with sighs if we were able to see it.
We do not know how we should pray.
The Spirit will plead on our behalf with sighs too deep to express.
On that day, says the Lord, I will pour out a spirit of compassion and prayer on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem.
The Spirit will plead on our behalf with sighs too deep to express.
Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, grant that we may always conform our will to yours and serve your majesty in sincerity of heart. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
22 minutes before the hour, today's gospel is coming up along with In Conversation with God and Morning Prayer on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app on the optional memorial of Pope St. John Paul II, Friday, October 22nd, 2021. I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, the Lord is saying to the crowds, "Can't you see what is happening right in front of your eyes?" It's from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke.
When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, "A shower is coming." And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, "There will be scorching heat." And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out till you have paid the very last copper.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. You'll find all of the daily Mass readings on the Relevant Radio app. The Lord speaks of reading the signs of the times, specifically of the presence of the Messiah. And let's be honest, we don't always recognize him either. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 5, Ordinary Time. Men have always been interested in the changing of the seasons and the climate. Sailors have an understandable concern for weather conditions, for the direction and force of the winds, for cloud formations. They analyze this information so as to forecast conditions in their work environment. In the Gospel for today's Mass, the Lord addresses fishermen and farm workers with this concern in mind. When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, "A shower is coming." And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, "There will be scorching heat." And it happens. Jesus gives his hearers something to think about. They can read the signs of the weather with very little evidence to go on, but they seem unable to read the abundant signs of the times regarding the Messiah. He asks them, "Why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" Many of them lacked goodwill and a right intention. Their eyes were closed to the light of the gospel. The signs of the arrival of the kingdom were evident in the Word of God, in the miracles worked by the Lord, and in the very person of Christ right before their eyes. Despite all of these signs, many of them predicted by the prophets, they did not draw the appropriate conclusion. God was in their midst, and they did not recognize Him. The Lord continues to pass by in our life. He tells us of His presence by a variety of signs, but we often do not recognize Him. Christ is present in sickness and tribulation, which, if we accept God's will, can serve to purify us. He exists in the people we work with, in those who need our help, in the members of our family, in the acquaintances of everyday life. Jesus is behind that piece of good news. He is waiting for us to give Him due thanks. He is ready to provide us with more blessings. Unfortunately, there are many occasions when we fail to thank Him. What a shame that we should slight God because we are inordinately preoccupied with our own affairs. What would our life be like if we really lived the presence of God? Wouldn't we find that much of our ill humor and many of our personal problems would vanish into thin air? If only we could live with more trust in divine providence, strong in faith, in the certainty of God's daily protection, which never fails, how many worries and anxieties we would be spared. Then that fretfulness, which, as Jesus said, is typical of pagans, of the heathen world, that is, of people who lack a supernatural outlook on life, would disappear. This is the perspective of those who live as if the Master never came among us. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. Let's keep on praying. We join the whole church. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
Lord, you will accept the true sacrifice offered on your altar.
Lord, you will accept the true sacrifice offered on your altar.
Have mercy on me, God, in your kindness, in your compassion. Blot out my offense. O wash me more and more from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin.
My offenses, truly, I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight, I have done.
That you may be justified when you give sentence, and be without reproach when you judge. O see, in guilt I was born. A sinner was I conceived.
Indeed, you love truth in the heart. Then in the secret of my heart teach me wisdom. O purify me, then I shall be clean. O wash me, I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear rejoicing and gladness, that the bones you have crushed may revive. From my sins turn away your face and blot out all my guilt.
A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit.
Give me again the joy of your help. With a spirit of fervor, sustain me, that I may teach transgressors your ways, and sinners may return to you.
O rescue me, God, my helper, and my tongue shall ring out your goodness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise.
For in sacrifice you take no delight. burnt offering from me, you would refuse. My sacrifice, a contrite spirit, a humbled, contrite heart, you will not spurn.
In your goodness, show favor to Zion, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with lawful sacrifice, holocaust offered on your altar.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, to save us and restore us to your friendship. Look upon our contrite heart and afflicted spirit, and heal our troubled conscience, so that in joy and strength of the Holy Spirit we may proclaim your praise and glory before all the nations.
Lord, you will accept the true sacrifice offered on your altar.
All the descendants of Israel will glory in the Lord's gift of victory.
All the descendants of Israel will glory in the Lord's gift of victory.
Truly with you, God is hidden, the God of Israel, the Savior. Those are put to shame and disgrace who vent their anger against him. Those go in disgrace who carve images.
Israel, you are saved by the Lord, saved forever. You shall never be put to shame or disgrace in future ages.
For thus says the Lord, the creator of the heavens, who is God, the designer and maker of the earth, who established it, not creating it to be a waste, but designing it to be lived in.
I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken from hiding, nor from some dark place of the earth. And I have not said to the descendants of Jacob, look for me in an empty waste. I, the Lord, promise justice. I foretell what is right.
Come and assemble, gather together, you fugitives among the Gentiles. They are without knowledge, who bear wooden idols and pray to gods that cannot save.
Come here and declare in council together, who announced this from the beginning and foretold it from of old. Was it not I, the Lord, besides whom there is no other God? There is no just and saving God but me.
Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, there is no other.
By myself I swear, uttering my just decree and my unalterable word.
To me every knee shall bend, by me every tongue shall swear, saying, only in the Lord are just deeds and power.
Before him in shame shall come all who vent their anger against him. In the Lord shall be the vindication and the glory of all the descendants of Israel.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
All the descendants of Israel will glory in the Lord's gift of victory.
Let us go into God's presence singing for joy.
Let us go into God's presence singing for joy.
Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing for joy.
Know that he, the Lord, is God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
Go within his gates giving thanks. Enter his courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name.
Indeed, how good is the Lord, eternal his merciful love. He is faithful from age to age.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen.
With joy and gladness we cry out to you, Lord, and ask you, open our hearts to sing your praises and announce your goodness and truth.
Let us go into God's presence, singing for joy.
A reading from the letter to the Ephesians. Never let evil talk pass your lips. Say only the good things men need to hear, things that will really help them. Do nothing that will sadden the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed against the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, all passion and anger, harsh words, slander, and malice of every kind. In place of these, be kind to one another, compassionate, and mutually forgiving, just as God has forgiven you in Christ. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
At daybreak, be merciful to me.
At daybreak, be merciful to me.
Make known to me the path that I must walk.
Be merciful to me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
At daybreak, be merciful to me.
The Lord has come to his people and set them free.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord has come to his people and set them free.
Through his cross, the Lord Jesus brought salvation to the human race. We adore him, and in faith we call out to him. Lord, pour out your mercy upon us.
Lord, pour out your mercy upon us.
Christ, rising sun, warm us with your rays.
And restrain us from every evil impulse.
Lord, pour out your mercy upon us.
Keep guard over our thoughts, words, and actions.
And make us pleasing in your sight this day.
Lord, pour out your mercy upon us.
Turn your gaze from our sinfulness.
And cleanse us from our iniquities.
Lord, pour out your mercy upon us.
Through your cross and resurrection,
fill us with the consolation of the Spirit.
Lord, pour out your mercy upon us.
Let us make our prayers and praise complete by offering the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
God, our Father, you conquer the darkness of ignorance by the light of your word. Strengthen within our hearts the faith you have given us. Let not temptation ever quench the fire that your love has kindled within us. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Hey, make it a holy upcoming weekend. I'm Paul Sadek. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the app. In the meantime, you go out and make this a great day and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.